He got something to say. I like him brown, yellow, Puerto Rican.
All right, live and direct from the 410. It's the Global Citizen Podcast. I like to call this segment, these segments, Sports a Big Worldwide. It's an inside joke. But welcome back to the Global Citizen Podcast. It's your boy Joel, and I'm recording live from Baltimore. So just think of any of the Wire intros. And I'm with my boy, a friend of the podcast, Tristan, a.k.a. TQT. Tristan, welcome back to the podcast.
Hey, thanks, man. It's good to be back. Thanks for coming up to Baltimore to
record with me. Hey, man, look, I got the car. I got the MacBook. when you think of The Wire, real quick before we get into what we're talking about, what theme song comes into your head? Whenever I'm driving here, I think of The Wire, but... Was like, if someone tells you, oh, The Wire, what's the song, the theme? Which season? Each season, yeah.
You know, it's been a while since I've seen it. They all kind of maybe blur together in my head.
Yeah.
But I think it must be like season one or two, the real bluesy one.
Yeah.
Maybe that's three, I'm not sure. Mm. But
three is the one with the kids, it's the girl, it's the woman singing, because I think it's like the theme is like the school.
They're not that one, the more bluesy one.
Yeah, so it's like one or two.
Yeah, one or two. Yeah, it might be the first one. Yeah. Probably the first one.
Me, unfortunately, it's the fifth one, which is my least favorite season, but it was like doo 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 doo.
Yeah, right. Bleh, bleh, bleh.
But anyway, yeah, thanks for having me. Anytime I get to come see you. I mean, since the last time we spoke, I think you have a family now. I mean, I think you were already married.
Yeah.
But now it's family, man, Tristan.
Yeah, it's been a while. A lot of changes. Yeah. One two-year-old kid now, two-year-old, and then another one on the way in 2019. So.
Well, congratulations.
Thanks,
and,
man.
And full disclaimer, if you see a two-year-old laughing, screaming, asking for daddy at any point in time, we're not editing it out.
Okay.
This is how we do. But the reason why I wanted to have you on is the NBA season is among us. I think we're about 20 games in.
You and I are currently in a head-to-head matchup.
We are.
In our fantasy league.
I stopped looking after yesterday because I saw about four of my guys are already hurt. During the draft, Tristan and I were picking behind each other. I think I had the eighth pick, and then Tristan had the ninth pick, and Kevin Durant was right there. And I couldn't do it because I tend to dislike Kevin Durant a little bit. But I regret it. I should have just picked him. I picked Kawhi Leonard, who's having a great year, but Kevin Durant is averaging, 47 points in the last three, four games. And we're dating this. This is December 1st. He's really carrying. You're in first place.
Yeah, in the fantasy league, yeah.
Yeah, you're in first place. I think I'm in eighth or seventh. But I still have hope. These things, it's a long season.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'll be in the playoffs. I might have to make a move. But if any of my key guys get hurt, like if Embiid gets hurt, it's over.
Yeah,
it's pretty much over.
That's how fantasy works, though.
Yeah. But you always tend to recover from when you have an injury. You find ways. You don't even make trades. You just... And the waiver wire...
I'm a grinder, man.
But I feel like the waiver wire is pretty barren for our league. There isn't much out there. But anyway, we're here to talk about primarily the Eastern Conference, but your team, the Boston Celtics. I'm not going to lie, I was pretty excited for you this year. I thought they were going to really dominate the East. but that hasn't been the case. You guys have an abundance of talent, but what would you say is the reason why it's not working out to the way we thought it was? Because I think today you guys are 500, 10 and 10.
Yeah, full disclosure, yeah. I haven't been able to watch as many Celtics games as I would like.
Right.
But I think it's like, I don't know, maybe two or three things. Like, First thing is maybe, you know, Brad Stevens a couple weeks ago or a couple days ago said, you know, maybe if we just keep losing, maybe we're just not that good. Like maybe they had a fluky playoff run and, you know, just gelled and people thought, hey, this team is amazing, and their media was maybe overhyping them. So that's maybe one thing.
Yeah.
The second thing, though, I think is probably more likely is just that they've got too many guys that think they deserve minutes.
Yeah.
And that do deserve minutes.
Absolutely.
And that guys that want contracts. And it's just a little bit me over the team.
Yeah.
And Brad Stevens is kind of in a tough spot because at least one of these guys is his boy from college, Hayward.
Gordon Hayward.
And Gordon Hayward had this really bad injury.
Pretty horrible injury. Anyone who, even if you don't watch basketball, just Google Gordon Hayward ankle snap and you'll know what we're talking about.
Yeah. And so, you know, he recruited Hayward to come play for the Celtics. He recruited him from high school to play for him in college. And
Butler.
Then, yeah, Butler at Butler University. And then once Brad Stevens moved on to the Celtics and Gordon Hayward moved on to the Utah Jazz and became an all-star, he then recruited him to leave the Jazz and, you know, break all the hearts of those fans and come to Boston. And then
Utahians. I don't know what people call themselves.
And then 5 minutes into his first game as a Celtic, he completely shatters his ankle. And now he's coming back, and I don't know, he feels for this guy. He's trying to give him minutes, trying to, you know, let him earn his contract and, you know, I don't know, get back to what he was, but he's not there mentally or physically. And there are guys that are younger and talented and could use those minutes and feel like they deserve those minutes, like Jaylen Brown, Tatum.
I love Jaylen Brown.
Rozier. Yeah, I mean,
I love Rozier too.
Those three guys are amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And who's the fourth?
Marcus Smart.
Marcus Smart, yeah.
Well, Marcus Smart got his money, though.
He got his money.
I would love to see Jaylen Brown and Jay Rozier in Knicks colors. Like they make up the Knicks that I grew up on, that tough 90s grind it out mentality. Like, we're going to scare you when you come in here. And I think with David Fizdale, who I'm a big fan of, it would just fit perfectly. But I have no idea how that would even work out unless the Knicks just outright sign Rozier. I think only Rozier is a free agent after this year.
Yeah.
Jaylen Brown, they have him on the books for another year. But either way, do you think, though, that they'll put it together?
I mean, I have to assume that they'll figure it out. They're some of the best in the business that work for the Celtics.
Mm.
You know, Danny Ainge is known for his ruthlessness with trades, but also, you know, they say he's a genius or whatever.
His heart is as black as that Guinness that you're drinking.
Yeah. But, you know, he knows how to assess talent, and he knows how to work, put a team together, and Stevens, you know, knows how to coach.
He does.
Everyone's been saying he's, like, one of the best coaches in the league, so, but now this is his first time he's ever not been able to
put
a winning product on the floor. And I got to assume they're going to get together, and that somehow, if the issue is that all the players are more interested in, you know, getting their stats so they can get contracts, or they're more interested in sort of their ego, you know, like they feel like they should be getting the minutes or they should be getting the shots or whatever. And if that's the issue, I assume that someone's going to communicate to them that what's actually in their best interest is having the team get to the finals,
because
that's what's gonna. If you're a contributor making plays, even if it's only for, you know, a handful of minutes off the bench in the finals, teams are gonna want you and they're gonna want to give you contracts.
Yeah,
and it's in your best interest to be part of a winning team, not to be part of a team that's dysfunctional, and so that you can get yourself. If that's the issue, I have to assume that they're gonna be able to communicate that, because They're pros in the Celtics organization. But who knows? The East is getting a lot tougher.
It is getting a lot
tougher. Jimmy Butler got traded to the Sixers.
Buckets.
Kawhi got traded to the Raptors at the beginning of the season.
If I had a soundboard, I would do the awkward Kawhi laugh. but I don't have that. Do you feel, a few more questions on the Celtics,
yeah.
Do you feel that this team doesn't have the dog that last year's team had? Well, last year's team when Kyrie left, right? Because once Kyrie left, they had this nucleus of Young Bucks and Horford that really, you know, yeah, Tatum and was talent is talented, and all those guys have like just pure talent, but there was dog in this team that really it was a dogfight when you were playing them. I feel when watching them, and you know, I only watch them when they're on national TV, like ESPN or TNT games. That dog is missing. It's a lot of Kyrie one-on-one, who I still love, but it's not, you know, it's not like you're fighting a pen of pit bulls. It's like the pit bulls are kind of being separated and they're kind of clipping their balls off. Sorry to...
No.
I mean, they're not clipped off. They're just kind of on ice.
There was an interview with Jay Crowder when the Jazz... Because Jay Crowder was a player on the Celtics.
Yeah.
In their last... 2 years ago, got traded...
To the Cavs.
Traded to the Cavs in the Kyrie Irving trade. And now then he ended up on the Utah Jazz. And the Jazz came and they played the Celtics and beat them pretty bad. And they interviewed Crowder on what he thinks is going wrong with the Celtics. And he said, you know, they just aren't... All the teams that we had that were successful, we had a bunch of guys that did the dirty work. That did the rebounds, that set the picks, you know, that played team defense, that you know, did all the hustle plays.
Yeah.
The stuff that doesn't necessarily show up in the box score. And the team they have now is a bunch of scorers and a bunch of superstars.
Mm.
Either currently superstars or superstars
in the making.
And they're just not doing the dirty work. The only guy who does the dirty work is Marcus Smart, and he said Marcus can't do it all. And so that's like his take. I think that kind of makes sense. But also, I feel like, you know, the team really took off last year when Kyrie was out.
Not
and he
playing.
Decided to take knee surgery. He didn't think that they were going to make it very far in the playoffs. Well, when Hayward got out in the first game, they thought, everyone basically thought, well, this isn't our year. We'll just get better and it'll be next year. So they kind of thought that the whole time. And then Kyrie's knee was acting up, so he said, I'm just going to get knee surgery and I'm not going to play in the playoffs. And the young guys get experience, and then we'll come back next year. Well, the young guys almost took them to the finals.
Almost, yeah.
Almost.
Game 7.
Game 7 against LeBron, and LeBron, you know, being LeBron.
Against the Cavs. Against
not
LeBron.
Even against the Cavs. No, the Cavs are unfortunately really terrible.
Yeah.
And we can see now how great LeBron is. But,
yeah.
But, yeah, the young guys almost took them to the finals. And, yeah, like you said, they were just attacking. Every guy was attacking. Every guy was passing. Every guy was shooting. Every guy was driving. Every guy was active on defense. It was just kind of like a college team, kind of, but also like in terms of their energy level and just like it just was really about the guys weren't really thinking. They were just playing basketball. They weren't really thinking about, you know, their stats, their contract, their careers or whatever. They were a lot of them were young. The other one game I watched like a couple weeks ago was Celtics Trailblazers, and it was the fourth quarter. Start the fourth quarter, I think Kyrie was out, and there was a lot of ball movement. Jaylen Brown was, you know, catching the ball, kind of on the move and driving and finishing. Rozier was doing stuff. They looked really good. It looked like that playoff team.
Yeah.
And then Kyrie checked in, and it was like 5 minutes left or 3 minutes left, and he took every shot.
Yeah.
And you know, he's so good that he could get every shot he wanted. So like, it makes sense, like rationally, if you're him and you got the ball, it's like, what's the best shot our team could get?
Me.
Well, I'm going to do this dribble move and get to the rim. But, you know, the guys just kind of, it's this thing with iso ball, right? They just stand around. And
the other guys are kind of standing with their hands up, waiting for the ball.
Yeah.
And they're not getting it.
It's just, yeah, and it just doesn't work in the long run. So, I mean, I don't know, man. But that playoff team, that Celtics team last year was unbelievable.
A lot of fun.
So fun. Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. I'm not gonna lie, me as a Knicks fan, I was like, wow, these guys are a lot of fun. Who in the East? So since we spent some time on the Celtics on kind of their status, but who in the East right now, from what you've been watching, reading, you're kind of like, wow, these guys are pretty interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Kawhi and the Raptors. That was good. They seem to be the best team, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I think that there's something about Kyle Lowry, though, that, I mean, he's good.
Joke.
I'm not going to do that. I saw him at my friend's bachelor party at the pool. he was on his didn't he had two phones and Ooh. didn't look up once. But I just feel like when the lights get bright sometimes, he I don't know, it just doesn't work out. But I mean, you have an MVP, finals MVP player on your team, so that's gonna help a lot. My friend Rudy, shout out to him, who's a big Raptors fan, was really pissed at first when they traded DeRozan, but then like 48 hours later, he changed his mind. But now that Kawhi's on the Raptors, they show, you know, they get a lot of TV play, and you know, he's not flashy at all. It's like you watch him, you're like, this is kind of boring, but it's effective and efficient. And you look at the stat sheet, and he has like 30 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 blocks. And he's like, literally, when you look at him, he doesn't look like, I don't say he doesn't look like much because he's a big dude, but it's his hands and his arms. They're like tarantula arms. Mm. And it's kind of crazy how one player, and we see it with LeBron, and it's hard to see with anyone on the Warriors because they're all so good, but it's been a while. I think him and Giannis, you see an automatic change, like an automatic, like when that person's on the floor, how the team changes the way they play, and it's a calming presence. So I would take Toronto, but I'm actually interested in Philly a lot. I think they have 3 legit superstars. And Jimmy's going to be on his best behavior. What do you think of what happened in Minnesota with Jimmy Butler? Were you like, that's so funny, that's so cool? Or were you kind of like, that's kind of weird? And
yeah, it seemed like kind of more like the latter. Like, it's kind of weird. Mm. I mean, like, all the players liked what he said, I guess. They said that, like, a lot of the veterans in the NBA, like, didn't have a problem with Jimmy, like, calling out his players and challenging them to playoffs. And,
yeah.
Yelling at the front office and doing all that crazy stuff and going to the media. And
you can't win without me.
Yeah, they didn't have a problem with it. And I don't know, man. I just, it's one of those things where who knows what's going on.
Yeah. I think it's hard, though, when people are playing with your money. But then in the end, I'm just like, $220 million versus $150 million. I mean, I'm not a millionaire, but if someone was like, you could have guaranteed $150
Yeah.
Or 220 million. I mean, it's 70 million more, right?
Yeah.
Is that the math? Yes, the math. But with 150 million, it's just so much money already. But whatever, you know, pride and respect. But he's on Philly, and I think they're going to go pretty far. But I'm just happy in general that the Eastern Conference isn't just like this shit show anymore.
I mean, it's still a shit show, but the top teams aren't a shit show.
The top 5 teams, I think, are pretty good.
The whole conference is still a shit show.
You think so?
I do. There's still teams that are going to get in with into the playoffs with an under 500 record.
But, like, name the top 5 teams off the top of your head right now in the East.
Milwaukee, Philly, Toronto. I don't even know about Boston. Indianapolis.
Those are 5, like, sound like solid...
Or Indiana.
Solid teams with somewhat solid coaching. I think Philly's coach is just question marks here and there. But
he's a Mainer, so...
He's Mainer.
Yeah, he's from Portland.
I thought he was... He has, like, his accent sounds kind of New Yorkish, but...
I think it's a Maine accent.
It is.
Yeah. Home state for the
listeners. Just took off the main plates off of your new car. But the rest, I mean, those 5 teams I think are legit. Like I think a year ago, I think that was just, it was a mess.
Yeah.
But I think if you look at those 5 teams, they're better than a lot of teams in the West, I think, that are right
now. Really?
So, okay, Philly and Houston right now.
I think Houston would beat Philly.
I don't know about right now. I mean, they don't play any defense.
Houston's maybe a weird case because they're kind of slumping.
Yeah, yes.
Let's say like New Orleans, which is, they're on like the playoff bubble in the West.
NOLA, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess you could kind of have Embiid and Anthony Davis kind of, I wouldn't say they canceled each other out, but it's like you have someone to occupy Anthony Davis.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, Philly's is one of, like, the top three teams in the East.
Right.
They could easily be in the finals.
Could be.
So, like, I heard someone saying this, so this isn't, like, my thought, but they're saying, like, you know, the question in the West is, will New Orleans make the playoffs? If they're in the East, you'd be saying, will they make the finals? Could they make the finals? Like, that's the thing.
Like, yeah.
Like, it's still, the top teams in the East are good. It's not just LeBron and a bunch of, you know, borderline playoff teams in the West. It's they are, like, legit teams, but still,
I think we're used to just assuming that the West is so good now that we're saying, like, if this guy was in the East, it'd be a whole other thing. But I mean, think about it. It's just like, you know, you have OKC,
yeah,
Utah,
yeah, Utah in the playoffs right
no.
now.
I mean, I'm just trying. Houston's playing like crap. Denver, I mean, like, you put Denver up against Milwaukee, I think I'm taking Milwaukee at this point. And with Milwaukee, what I like is that it shows what good coaching.
Yeah.
Like, I just think two things about the NBA in the past 2 to 3 years, 4 years even, where I'm just like, please everyone see this. Good coaching and also, like, patience. Like, I think people expect now these rookies to come out at, like, 19.
Yeah.
And just be like, I'm going to carry this team. And that's pretty rough.
Yeah.
Like, if you're 19 and you have a bad season, or bad rookie season, I mean, you're 19. You're playing with men. Like, now that we're getting older, I look at some of these rookies.
Yeah.
I look at their faces. I'm like, you look like a child.
Yeah.
There's that dude, that rookie for the Clippers, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander or whatever. Yeah. I was watching the Clippers Kings game the other day. I'm like, dude, this kid looks like a 16-year-old. He's just, you know, tall and long and lanky, and he's gonna fill out and become a probably absolute beast. But I mean, like, not everyone has that gene at 19 years
right.
old.
No, totally. I was watching an interview with Jaren Jackson Jr. on Memphis.
God, man,
like, he's great and he's playing amazing, but yeah, he's like a kid.
Child.
He'd be a freshman in college, I guess, or a sophomore in college.
Child.
Yeah. But,
same thing with Tatum.
Tatum, yeah.
Tatum looks like
Tatum's
a kid.
Tatum's a dad already, though.
His dad. At 20, he had a kid. Yeah. I'm like, dogs. Like, at 20, I was a mess.
Yeah, I know.
But it's just a lot of these baby-faced kids, and I guess as I get older, I kind of respect how hard it must be.
For sure.
To just go out there and, you know, when now with social media, you're going to follow. If you put your name as a hashtag, you're going to see what people are saying. And you'll be like, oh, this Joel kid fucking sucks. And I'm going to be like, oh, I'd be crushed.
That's the craziest thing, I think. I think we underestimate how much, like, basically surveillance NBA players and NBA prospects live under because of social media, just because of the journalists and you know, the media.
Yeah.
But just the fact that they are in a profession that's under such a spotlight, and they're in the NBA's particularly big right now. Everyone wants to follow the NBA or, like, get up on the storylines and the narratives and all that stuff. But, man, I couldn't. I would totally crack.
Yeah, I'd be horrible.
I would crack in a second under all that pressure.
Or I would just be, like, so messy. Like, like what happened to Tristan Thompson would probably happen to me.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm not talking about, like, necessarily adultery, but just you would see me probably, I just think back to, you know, the days I used to go wild out.
Right.
I can imagine I was a multimillionaire wilding out.
I mean, you have a viral video of Joel Rogan at the club yelling at somebody.
Yelling. Doing something horrible. But, yeah, it's a lot of pressure. And I think if you're young and you get drafted by a team in L.A. or the Knicks, you're in New York or you're in Miami, like, that's pretty dangerous. You give a 21-year-old the $10 million contract.
Yeah.
It's pretty real. So if you had to guess, just kind of wrapping up on this NBA bit, who would face the Warriors? And I'm going to ask you a question about the Warriors after this, but we all assume that the Warriors are going to be in the finals. If you had to pick right now, like, this is it, what team in the East is coming out to play the Warriors and get swept?
Do you know who's in first in the East right now?
I think it's Toronto.
It's Toronto, yeah. I think that home court advantage is probably going to be really important
yeah.
in the East. So, I think probably whoever has home court.
Mm.
I think that Toronto looks like the most legit team. Mm. Yeah, they played Golden State the other day. Eked out a win in overtime.
Barely got out of there.
When Golden State didn't have Curry.
Draymond.
But yeah, Klay Thompson was saying that there is probably a finals preview. So I think probably Toronto, although you know, as Shaq said on Inside the NBA the other day, Kawhi's the second best player in the NBA, but Giannis is the best player in the East. So maybe it'll be Milwaukee. I don't think that the Sixers are going to be able to do it just because there's too much craziness in Philly right now with like Markel Fultz and
I feel bad for
trying
that kid.
To integrate. I do too, man. I've never seen anything like it, but I mean that's what we're talking about, right? Being in the spotlight and how you crack under it. I assume that's what happened to him. Yeah.
Driving up I-95 when you get into Philadelphia, they keep having these billboards like where they'll change what it says every now and then. Mm. And one time I was going up, it says, "We believe in Markel Fultz." And then I was passing through like maybe a few days after Jimmy Butler got traded there. I said, "We believe in Jimmy Butler." So, yeah, so you're saying Toronto.
I think Toronto, but maybe Milwaukee. Mm. And if Boston gets it together, maybe Boston.
Yeah.
But I think it's probably going to be whoever's in first. So, yeah, I think Toronto. I think Kawhi. Kawhi and Kyrie are the only ones that have been to the finals before of those East contenders. I think Indiana's I don't think Oladipo's up for it yet. He's injured right now.
He's injured, but I think he's a beast. I wish Indiana would get someone else. I think they made a lot of bad signings. And I believed in Tyreke Evans. I drafted him and said, sixth man of the year. And I think I released him last week for Alonzo Trier.
It'll be the Knicks next year, though.
I'm thinking long game. I'm not even worried. I think with the Knicks, I just want to see growth. I want to see effort. I want to see, you know, coaching. I want to see some sort of defense. I want to see structure. I think Knicks fans, the majority of Knicks fans have very, very low expectations. Yeah. I can't stand it when I see Knicks fans who are like, oh, why don't we trade this person or that person for this person. Like, no. I don't wanna win right now. I just wanna keep losing.
So you don't want some big free agent to come next year?
Sure. Yes. I'll sign a big free agent, but it has to be someone. They're all worth it, I guess. But like, I as much as I love Kemba Walker, I feel kind of weird giving him a max deal. Even at this point, Kyrie, man, because Kyrie seems to be hurt all the time.
Mm.
But like, if Kyrie came, I'd be like, oh my god. I mean, I love Kyrie Irving, but I hate to say it, and obviously, I'm not a fan of Kevin Durant. I'm a fan of his game.
Yeah.
But I'm not a fan of what he did of going to the Warriors. But if he came to the Knicks, man, I'd be pretty happy.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be hard at first, but then I think I'd get over it. Like, as soon as he hit like a step back half court three, I would be happy. But the thing with the KD thing now is starting to become so similar to the LeBron decision thing. I mean, but everyone says that, but the way I look at it is that at first I couldn't stand LeBron, and then based off of his game, you started to appreciate him and how he kind of led that team. You know, I think Draymond was kind of really wrong for what he did.
Oh, yeah.
Even though he was saying what we all know and think, or I won't say no, but what we think. But, like, there's no need for that. I mean, the guy, he's gotten you two rings. But I don't think that's really going to hurt the Warriors, and I think they're going to win.
Yeah.
Easily.
It's not going to hurt him this year, but it might hurt him next year.
Yeah, if he leaves, but whatever. I mean, I think he's probably going to end up going to the Lakers, and then LeBron will somehow get Anthony Davis.
Is that in the cards?
I mean, Anthony Davis signed with LeBron's agency.
Right, with Clutch.
Yeah, and I don't know. I just think this is what we do now. We just...
I would actually like to see LeBron with Anthony Davis.
I mean, I think it's going to happen, honestly. I mean, I'm no NBA insider.
Because, like, that's always a thing, right? It's like LeBron... Or there's all this stuff now about LeBron... the report from Windhorst or whatever about LeBron not playing... Running the plays that Coach Walton's calling.
Yeah.
And but it's like, well, that's what LeBron does. He runs the offense. Yeah. He's been doing that for 4 years.
And then but, I heard...
But he always plays with... If LeBron does ever team up with other superstars, and maybe with the exception of Kevin Love, they're usually, and with the exception of Bosch, usually, I was going to say they're all wing players, but he turns inside players into the third option. So I'm not sure what he would do with Anthony Davis, but it would be interesting to see.
Whatever he wants, man.
Yeah.
I
he just better not put Anthony Davis in the corner shooting threes.
I don't think so. I think... Davis would be a lot of catching a lot of lobs, running the fast break. I think the only coach that LeBron could have at this point is someone who's just going to kind of nod at him. Like, yeah. I've heard on other various podcasts, it was just Jalen and Jacoby. And the reason why I'm saying Jalen and Jacoby because I met Jacoby once, so I feel good shouting him out. Yeah, at a party. He won't remember me if he saw me. It was weird. I saw him and I like had heard the podcast earlier on that day. I'm like, I know everything about you. I know you bought a car. But people are saying that Brian Shaw, LeBron, in the timeouts, LeBron is talking more to Brian Shaw than Luke Walton. And, you know, at some point there'll be a 30 for 30 10 years from now about how LeBron was uncoachable, but
yeah.
I don't think it really matters. But there was something I wanted to say about, so AD, KD, LeBron, probably. Mm. But
KD to the Lakers, too?
I think so. I mean, I think...
Why would he do that?
Because I don't think he cares anymore. I think he's... I don't know. I think this is just theories, and I'm starting to buy into them. I just don't see him... I'm a Knicks fan.
Yeah.
I've said this many times on this podcast already. I keep repeating myself, but... I just, as a New York fan, I just don't see, I can't picture happiness anymore. We've been bad for so long, and I just don't see why he'd come here. Like, you know, people are hoping for that narrative that he's going to come and save us. Because we need saving. But, I don't know. Even if he came for 1 year. I mean, would we go to the finals? No. Probably not.
Maybe in the East.
Yeah.
Kawhi came and the Raptors are... I mean, the Raptors were already good, but...
I think he's going to stay in Toronto, too.
Really?
I hope he does.
I wouldn't be upset if he stayed. No. I don't understand him at all, but...
Me either.
I wouldn't be upset if he stayed.
But I think it's okay. I'm like... obviously, always been pro-player. But I think these guys should just be able to do whatever they want. And they're doing it. They're doing it.
Yeah. Oh, the basketball's nice. Like,
no.
Even though people are criticizing how much the three-pointer counts in the NBA.
Coach Pop.
Yeah, and how it's, like, changed the fundamentals of basketball. Yeah. But I don't know. I like it. I like watching the Warriors. I actually love watching the Warriors play.
No, me too. I was in O Canada last week, early this week, and... for some reason, they were getting, like, Warriors games on whatever the hotel was. Warriors and Raptors games. So I watched one Toronto game, and then I watched one Warriors game just on TV. Like, and the Warriors were playing Orlando, and they were so much fun to watch. Like, you see exactly what they're trying to do. And now, with the fact that so many people are injured, come third, fourth quarter, there'll be some rest for when they're resting KD. It's Klay running the offense, and he's... pretty phenomenal, but they're just fun. Like they're winners. They play winning basketball.
Yeah,
and everyone knows what's coming, and they just can't seem to stop it.
Yeah.
But yeah, they are fun to watch.
Yeah, you think it's more like when the offenses, you know, they drive or they make a pass, and they get the defenses to react and kind of shift and. And they make another pass, and they get the defense to shift again, and then they start to keep making passes, and the defense breaks, and then they get a layup or a wide-open three. Is that more like, you think it's more like soccer? Like, more like soccer strategies?
Yeah.
Than, like, maybe more traditional?
I think so, but, NBA like, soccer strategies with, like, four people who could basically, and if you think of Saka, who could score from 90 feet out,
right?
Who could just shoot. And the thing is, you know, they trust each other. Even like the random bench guys, like Quinn Cook or whatever, they all trust each other. Mm. And it's fun to watch. It's fun to see people share the ball. Like, they play the right way.
Yeah.
But switching from NBA real quick, since I have you, I wanted to ask you, because I've been talking to you a little bit about politics. Everything is politics.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez. But we're not going to talk about U.S. politics.
Okay.
I wanted you to give a 5-minute spiel on what's happening in Brazil.
In Brazil?
Because you were talking about it a lot, and I wasn't paying attention to it, and then I read an article, and I was like, this is a nightmare.
Yeah.
So if you could, in maybe however much time we have left, kind of explain what's happening in Brazil and why it's a big deal to us. And I think the second part is why I wanted to ask you, because once I realized about the whole rainforest thing.
Oh, yeah.
There's other horrible things as well, but the rainforest thing kind of affects anybody and everybody.
Yeah, so the big top line news or headline or whatever is that Brazil elected a new president. And Jair Bolsonaro, mm-hmm. and he is a fascist, and I'm not using that word, that term, in any kind of flip way. He is an apologist for the former military dictatorship, and said that the only thing the dictatorship the only mistake the dictatorship made was that it didn't kill enough people.
Mm.
He would like to bring the military dictatorship back. He said that...
according to who, it didn't kill enough people?
According to him. Wow. That the problem with the dictatorship was that they didn't execute enough people.
Nice.
He has said that he would rather his son die in a car crash than be gay. I think that was the quote.
Wow.
He said that he...
a lot of gems in there.
Yeah, he said that... he was in Congress in Brazil for a long time. He said that one female legislator was not like attractive enough to rape.
Mm. Oof.
He's said a whole bunch of stuff about Black Brazilians and Indigenous Brazilians, and so, you know, it's like kind of what we're experiencing with
sexist, racist,
yeah, misogynist, you know, yeah, same thing. And just he's a former military officer himself. Who came up in the dictatorship, I guess, but then was elected. He's been in Congress, the Brazilian Congress, for a long time. And yeah, he won kind of like Trump, kind of out of nowhere. People were like, didn't really take him seriously, but this kind of like blunt, honest style really got to people. And I think primarily he won because people primarily voted for him. One, because there are, you know, just like in the US, when people voted for Trump, there are some extreme right wing people. That like what he's saying, but then there are other people who in Brazil were primarily concerned about crime, and he said he's going to like send the military into the favelas, and
that was already happening though.
It was already happening, but he said he's gonna, you know, do it more or whatever. He kind of, you know, played to people's fears, and
sounds like someone we know.
Yeah, but more in other thing, you know, he's saying that he wants to Brazil. So there's a bunch of stuff in that happened in the background that makes this all make sense. But one of the things that happened that's been happening is that Brazil, after, you know, kind of like a decade or more of economic prosperity for everybody under the former government of Lula da Silva, where lower class and middle class Brazilians did really well. Brazil's been in a economic recession for a number of years, so, you know, he's saying he's going to get, you know, similar to what Trump was saying, he's going to like bring back business and, you know, get rid of regulations and, like, you know, let the private sector go wild. And one of the things, you know, Brazil is a big exporter of raw materials, soybeans, that's the one I can think of, but also like, you know, cattle and beef and stuff like that, a lot of agricultural commodities.
It's a massive country.
Yeah, also oil. Yeah, a lot of natural resources. Yeah, massive country, huge interior, abundant natural resources. But one of the things he wants to do is open up the Amazon, which is a constitutionally protected area, to mining. And he wants to leave, not 1 centimeter left of the Amazon.
Wow.
And if he were to do that, you know, the the, well, one, he wants to, you know, eliminate the indigenous people that live in the Amazon, which is genocide. But in terms of the world, the globe, the Amazon are the lungs of the earth. They're what, you know, takes in the carbon dioxide and gives us oxygen back. If he were to destroy the Amazon, then there is literally no conceivable way to avoid catastrophic climate change, like extreme climate change, devastating climate change, you know, cities underwater, fires, droughts, you know, the apocalyptic kind of stuff, from what I can understand. But like, so that's what this guy is. And they say, oh,
like, so
I've been talking about, you know, comparing him to Trump or whatever, but is not really a good comparison. One, because he's much more extreme than Trump in terms of his embrace of the military dictatorship and, you know, wanting to destroy the Amazon and stuff like that. You know, Trump does stuff, but on a much more muted level. But the real issue is that Brazil has only been out of dictatorship for 30 years. Mm. So their institutions, their democratic institutions, are really weak. We've been in a democracy in the U.S., electoral democracy, for two centuries. And, you know, it hasn't always been democratic. You know, it was only until recently, and it's actually going the other way, that everyone can vote.
Mm.
But we still have strong institutions, and Brazil does not. So he's much more like a Duterte in the Philippines.
Oof.
Like Sisi in Egypt. That's like the comparisons I hear. So it's really bad.
Duterte, if anyone Googles him in New York Times, is a great like photo op on how people are living in fear, can't do drugs or be a recovering addict. Or
he's said he was a mayor before he was president of the Philippines, and he would drive around on his motorcycle, and when he saw drug dealers, he'd go up to them and shoot them in the head or something.
But
so this is what Bolsonaro is, and he got overwhelming support, but it's all due to this politics, and everything in Brazil is crazy. And the one important thing is that the most popular politician in Brazil is Lula da Silva, still the former president.
Who was impeached?
No, he was not impeached. He was term limited, so he served, I think, two terms as president. There were dramatic economic gains for like all sectors, or for the middle and lower classes in Brazil. Super popular, really high approval ratings. The elites didn't like him, but he was super popular. He's a former, like, you know, union worker who moved his way up in the union and was elected president of the Labor Party. But his successor was Dilma Rousseff, a woman.
Dilma, yeah.
And she was not well liked. She was like, there were some similar dynamics in play, I would say, like certain, like maybe sexist dynamics in play against her that were kind of similar to what we saw with sort of the backlash against Hillary, in terms of the like lock her up and all this stuff around her emails, kind of the bogus stuff that didn't really matter.
Yeah.
People really fixated on and couldn't stand, even though there were a lot of substantive things wrong with Hillary. But anyway, so they impeached Dilma for corruption, even though she didn't really, there wasn't really anything there. It was a purely political thing. The right-wing parties had a majority in Congress, and they exercised their ability to impeach her. But there wasn't really an impeachable offense. They did some like accounting trick to make things not look so bad or whatever. But it's a very common trick. I don't know the details, but it seems like it's a pretty minor thing. Definitely not an impeachable offense. They impeached her. They put in a new president. But then Lula was eligible to run for the presidency again. Somehow you're allowed to do that. I don't think you can do that in the U.S. I think you're limited to two terms total.
There's no history where another president who's done two terms, like Bush Dub or Clinton whoever else. Did Reagan do two terms?
Yeah, I think Reagan did. But anyway, so I guess it's just not two consecutive terms. So he was running again. He had the highest approval ratings or the highest polling of anybody, of any candidate. But he was convicted on corruption charges, which were also kind of bogus. It was about like someone gave him an apartment. It wasn't even like a super nice apartment. It was like a nice
Some bullshit.
Someone gave him an apartment, but there was no evidence that he ever used it or took the title or the deed to it. Or ever even spent a night in the apartment. So it's like, again, really kind of extreme, but they jailed him and barred him from running in the presidential election. But he still, his polling numbers were the highest of any candidate, including higher than Bolsonaro. So there's just some really crazy dynamics in Brazil in terms of politics. Just like in the U.S., shit is just changing.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really make sense. But they elected this guy, and he's bad news.
He sounds pretty bad. Oh, one last question back to the rainforest. Do you think that it's the kind of same campaign slogan as kind of building a wall? Like this thing that's kind of far-fetched but can actually happen?
Hmm.
Or do you think it's really... I mean, we can't say anything is far-fetched anymore, but he's really going to... Like, there's nothing that can be done. He is going to start chopping trees down in the rainforest.
I mean, it's like a different... The symbolism is different than building a wall, but yeah, it's probably something like that. Although I think... I don't think it was like his main campaign, you know, slogan or whatever.
Right.
His main slogan... Not even a slogan, but his gesture was two guns, two hand... Turn his fingers into guns, two finger guns.
Yeah.
That was his thing. I don't know. I think he can, though. Like, he's got total control over the Brazilian government. I think the only thing that's going to keep him reined in are going to be the social movements, like the indigenous people and the rural people that aren't going to let him do that, the environmentalists. I think it's going to be real nasty. Like, a lot of assassinations, unfortunately. Yeah. And just... stuff like that, but and then also just people from the international scene, you know, banks. I mean, one issue is like all the American and European banks that invest in Brazil, and people that have their money with those banks need to find a way to tell the banks, like, please don't fund the people that are going to be deforesting the Amazon because it's game over. And I think that's already going to happen. But one thing that's going to happen, too, is that, you know, is Trump in the U.S. like starts to break and dismantle all the multilateral international institutions that we've been part of, you know, like pulling out of all these U.N. bodies and, challenging WTO, and all, even though WTO's got problems, but all these other things, he's going to be looking for new alliances, new international alliances, and he's talking to Russia, he's talking to other countries. He's going to be talking to Bolsonaro. And Steve Bannon, you know, Trump's political advisor, is Bolsonaro's political advisor. And so they're going to be building linkages. And that's like something that we got to be figure out how to stop.
Yeah.
Because they're going to strengthen each other.
It sounds that way. And I just feel like though, the common person doesn't care enough. Like, it took me a while, and I think I'm pretty like...
yeah,
aware I care about issues type thing, and it took like one article I read, I was like, oh, this is what Tristan was talking about, this is why this is gonna be really bad. But on that note, on a happy note, read the news, people. Tristan, thank you very much. We'll do another one real soon. We'll check in on the Celtics and on other state of affairs of the countries that both of us actually work in. I don't work in Brazil, but you do.
Yeah.
But thanks a lot, man. Congratulations on the upcoming second child. I hope you're ready.
I don't think anyone ever is. That's what they say.
But till next time. Thanks again. Hey, yo, my man Fife Diggy, he got something to say. I like him brown, yellow, Puerto Rican, and Haitian. Name is Fife Dog from the Zulu Nation. So you're in the jam that we can get down. Now let's not...